Trendy is presented for the people by Caesar Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. Download it, must be 21 years or older. Welcome back to another edition of Trinity, the show that we like to explore the best ways to wager for casual cappers. And I am locked in the middle of my battle this week with Jen Piacenti, who is currently beating me 5.3 to 4.9 in a contest where I have gotten all my baseball bets right, and she has gotten all her football bets right, just like we thought it would go at the beginning of the week. Right, Jen?
I was going to say, I have to immediately come on and be like, I've lost all my baseball credibility because I whiffed on both my baseball bets this week. But well, I mean, the worst part was leaving the Sam Laporta parlay on the bench, Toby. Yeah. But you know, you told me when we started this show, you said, whatever bet you decide not to place, we're going to talk about it. And that's the one that's going to hit. So to listeners out there, just play the bets we don't play.
Well, I'm still grateful you gave it out because I did exactly that. I played the Rangers run line. I played your Laporta bet, and I played one other, and the Laporta bet covered everything else. Like,
amazing. That thing I absolutely played it too.
Crushed. All right. Well, don't tell everybody you lost all your baseball credibility, Jen, because we still have game five to discuss. And before we get to that, I actually want to talk a little bit about the baseball offseason. I know everybody wants to rush to do this after the World Series is over, but I'm beating it. I'm like the guys leaving the game in the bottom of the ninth inning. I'm actually going to talk about before the season ends because I don't have you next week. So my question for you, Jen, as our resident baseball expert here at the Extra Points Podcast Network, is what are your takeaways from this season and the postseason that you think will affect the offseason? So do you think that there's lessons to be learned from the expanded baseball playoffs and like not having buys and how that might affect team construction? Do you think there's anything to be learned from the pitch clock and the increase in stolen bases and how that might affect team construction? What do you think we'll actually see in the offseason based on what we learned this year?
Well, I think we learned a few things with the playoff structure, and that is that it really is about who gets hot at the right time. And so teams need to plan a little bit more for their postseason. And I think what we might see more of is more acquisitions, at the trade deadline for people that can give them a second half run, understanding that they're going to need so much more depth and options for who is hot going into the rest of the season. The pitch clock has been great for the sport. I think it's gotten people really involved, really interested. However, it has not been great for certain pitchers. For instance, Alek Manoah, Framber Valdez, people that we had really high hopes for, they don't do well. Just the way that they're made, the way that their bodies are, the way that they think, it's really affecting them. So I think it's going to be interesting to start to evaluate, okay, these pitchers that were previously good, maybe they aren't with the pitch clock. And as we evaluate talent going on, we're going to have to train them and understand, can they keep up this pace and how will they hold up to injury as well with this pitch clock?
I didn't mean to cut you off whatsoever. That was rude.
It seems like there were a lot of injuries this year and people that struggled with it, but that could just be anecdotal and something that we feel like how we feel like there's so many injuries this year in the NFL, but probably there aren't any more than there have been in previous years.
Do you think we'll see a record offseason? What I mean by that is, like, if we're going to play this new version of baseball that has so many teams making it to the postseason and like one and two seeds just going out immediately and 100 win teams combining for like one postseason victory, are we going to see 20 to 25 teams that say, why not us? If we could just get that seven seed, can we make a run? And therefore, if create a more competitive marketplace, right? So if there's 22 teams that think they have an actual shot to win the title just because they get hot at the right moment, are they going to spend that extra $10 million? Are they going to spend that extra $20 million, whatever it might be? And as a result, then players' salaries are going to be higher than we expect, and there'll be a hotter market for like mid-level players and not just the top of the market like the Ohtanis.
Yes, I think that is very likely because, first of all, you're appealing to a wider audience if you have more teams in the playoffs. That's what they were intending, right? So every team is going to say, all I have to do is get to the playoffs. I just have to grab a second wild card. That's all I have to do. And then hope we get hot. And if we just get to the playoffs, we're going to get so many more eyes on our team, and it's worth it because we can say we were a playoff team. As we've noted, both teams in the World Series were wildcard teams. However, it's also worth noting this is one of the least viewed World Series of all time. Yeah, so MLB does need to kind of review, is this the right strategy or what can we do to tweak it?
Yeah, I mean, I took my kids out trick-or-treating last night and I walked into a parent's house at the very end of it and I looked up and it was 10-0 Rangers. And I was like, oh, okay, I missed nothing. Like nothing. There's nothing dramatic here. Obviously there was a ton of runs. I don't care. I missed the first three innings and now I have no incentive to watch the last six innings. Like what? And I'm about as big a sports fan as there is. So like who's watching this?
I turned it off. I literally was like, well, Toby won that bet. Boop. I'm going to have to eat crow on Wednesday because that's two in a row that the Rangers covered the run line when I said, I don't bet run lines. And then they rallied and it ended up 11-7, which is kind of fun. It showed a little spunk, but it's just, I hate to say it, but it's not a popular, I said this on a podcast and one of the listeners was like, how dare you say we're not a major market team? And I'm like, well, because you're not. Sorry. Yeah,
no, I mean, the ratings don't lie in some regard. So do you think the Dodgers and the Braves and teams like that will do anything different in response to this? Like, are the Dodgers going to go spend, you know, $500 million on Ohtani or whatever they might do to what? Go from 103 wins to 106 wins, but still have to deal with the same rhythm of the postseason?
Right. They don't need to. I think that's what it's taught us, is that you don't necessarily need that major star. Again, all you have to do is be good enough to get to the playoffs, and then kind of the clock really starts over. And it's always been that way to an extent, but it seems even more extreme. If you're going to go get a player like Shohei Ohtani, then you're doing it just because you want to sell tickets and you want to make money, not because you really think that's improving your team with this new strategy. So as far as like money and business of the team making money, yeah, I think there still will be some star name acquisitions because more people are watching baseball and you want to say, oh, but we're the team that has the modern Babe Ruth, or we're the team that has a Bryce Harper or a Mike Trout or blah, whoever it is, the new star Kyle Tucker could be someone that gets a big contract in the offseason. But, you know, I think that the thing we need to learn every year and we need to keep in mind is just pitching depth. Pitching depth. It comes down to pitching depth. You can always get a hitter. There are hitters out there. Pitchers, you know, with this pitch clock, it's trickier. We've seen bullpens blow up. We've seen, you need the depth. And all season long, the Dodgers didn't have great pitching depth, even though they continued to win. So if I were the Dodgers, I would just get the pitching depth.
I think it'll also be really interesting because you brought up like a tactic of just waiting for the trade deadline and making your move there, because all that matters is just getting in the seventh seed and then making it to the postseason any way you can. And obviously just anything can happen at that point. But does that mean there'll be fewer sellers at the deadline as well, right? Like if 20-25 teams are within, you know, five games in July of that postseason slots, like who's going to be left? It'll be the bottom dwellers that are selling off the pieces they have. So I think the whole thing, I think sports are naturally a copycat situation. Like you see something that works, you follow it, then something else comes along that changes the way you think, and then you follow that instead. But if the lessons that we have learned is that anybody could win this thing, I think we're going to see a lot of players get paid in the offseason. I think we're going to see even less people pay attention to regular season Major League Baseball. And I think it's really going to affect the sport. So I hope I'm wrong. I was hoping you were going to tell me I was wrong, but that's the way I see it.
I think that's right. And I think that all the efforts they made to have people watch regular season baseball, they kind of just took two steps forward and, you know, then took three steps back with the World Series, because the ultimate prize is this.
Yeah. I mean, it went from the most popular sport in America however many years ago. Obviously the NFL is far usurped it now, but it's just now on this downward trajectory where it's going to end up like hockey. It's going to be something that diehards love, and it's going to be regionally based, and it's just not going to have the attention that it's ever had. And maybe that's okay. But they're certainly not doing any favors to themselves to fight against the current of that inevitable conclusion. So Jen, last question, then we'll get to today's picks. Given what we're talking about with offseason strategy, given what we're talking about with pitching depth and the change, the future odds, I'm sure, will come out, you know, as soon as the World Series ends, and the Dodgers and the Braves will still be the favorites. But are there teams that, you know, blindly you think we should look at the odds as soon as they get posted because they more fit this like modern structure of the game?
Well, I mean, you're going to say this is a homer pick, but the Astros, especially if you get good odds. And the reason why is they were without two of their major pitchers all season, right? They lost Luis Garcia and they didn't have Lance McCullers. Now we know they have Justin Verlander. And we know that, you know, if assuming they sign Kyle Tucker, they're going to make moves. And thankfully, they don't have Dusty Baker anymore. God bless you, Dusty. You've had an amazing career, but they need someone that's a little more modern and not so stubborn, because there were a lot of games that there were just bad lineups out there. You got Maldonado hitting 180 instead of Yiner, who's hitting 300. You know, so there's just like really common sense things. And even still, you know, if you look at the regular season record, the Astros were far better than the Rangers in head-to-head. But at the time they needed to be hot, they weren't quite hot enough, but they still were pretty hot in the postseason. So the Astros, to me, I think you might get the best value on. They have the experience and they kind of have an every other year pattern. Baltimore's another team that I think was really interesting this year and really, really good with a lot of young talent. And they just didn't have the experience and they kind of got bounced by this bad format. So they're another team that I would wager on. And then the Phillies, they keep doing this. Maybe they're starting to get into it. They're going to be regular showings in the postseason. They kind of look like that kind of a team right now, and they should still have most of their pieces.
I think what'll be interesting is whatever the World Series winner is posted at, because they're almost certainly going to be disrespected. We're dismissing them kind of behind, like subliminally here, saying, oh, this isn't a real World Series. These aren't the best teams, but they're still going to be the defending champs, most likely the Rangers, I guess the Diamondbacks on a miracle. And I bet you they get posted at like the seventh or eighth best odds. And so like,
yeah.
I like the Astros, I'm not shocked you gave out, but I think it's still a good give, but like, I'm just going to give out the Rangers, right? Like, why can't they do this again if they just did it once, if this is going to be the format and they're going to be, you know, the eighth or ninth best odds on the board?
Yeah, if they are the eighth or ninth best odds, absolutely. And actually, I do believe the Rangers deserve to be here. Like, they actually are a really good team. It doesn't bother me. Like, they're certainly as good as the Phillies were last year, and they made it to the World Series. So I'm okay with like a wild card team in the World Series. It's kind of like the two wild card teams. You're like, okay, now we're getting a little silly. My biggest problem with the Rangers will simply be, I still wonder about their pitching depth, which they're already struggling with now, but they have time to address that. And they have just the work. They have to address their bullpen, which look, they have time to, so yeah. Maybe it'll all be done. It's not a bad call. It's also hard to go back to back. I mean, when was the last time we've seen a team go back to back in the World Series?
It has been a long time. Well, this will be an interesting gauge. That's probably the only 10 minutes we'll do on baseball between now and March, unless the Diamondbacks come through tonight, and see if people still turned it off. That would be a bad sign for the future of the game, where people can't even tolerate the opening of this show for reasons other than my voice. But let's go ahead. Let's give Caesar some love here, and then we will come back and play Hardhead, Heat, or Cred.
You know, when the conversation turns stampers, I always go with my number one as Caesars. Let's talk about them a little bit, shall we? Tickets to the game, merch, meals at iconic restaurants, stays at Caesars Palace. All this can be yours when you bet with Caesars Sportsbook. Win or lose, every bet earns rewards credits, which you can redeem across the empire. Now, if you haven't started yet, register using this code. Listen up. Omaha Full. The word Omaha and the word full. And then you place your first bet up to $1,250. If you win, great. If you keep those winnings, but if you lose, you'll get your stake back as a bonus bet. 21 and over only. Offer valid and must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Massachusetts, Maryland, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, and Wyoming. New users and first $10 plus wager only. Must register with eligible promo code. Bet amount of qualifying wager returned only if wager is settled as a loss. Maximum bonus bet, $1,250. Bonus bet expires 14 days after receipt. Tier credits and reward credits will be added to account within 7 days after qualifying wager settles. See Caesars.com/promos for full terms. Void where prohibited. Know when to stop before you start. Gambling problem? Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Licensed through Horseshoe, Bossier City, and Harrah's, New Orleans. Massachusetts, call 1-800-327-5050 or visit visit gamblinghelplinema.org. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Ohio, Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harris, Philadelphia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER or West Virginia, 1-800-GAMBLER.net. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Okay, we are back, and we just had a heated off-air debate about run line versus money line that Brett recorded. Maybe we'll put out as a hidden cut one day. Maybe we'll do it on Friday for everybody, but it's a fun conversation. Hopefully, we'll have some more fun conversations here, Jen, as we play Heart, Head, Heat, or Cred, giving out our best bets here on Wednesday, November 1st. So you have the lead, therefore you have honors. What are you leading off with?
Okay, I'm going to start with the Hart pick because it could be our last chance. So I had to go to MLB here. And this is a Hart pick. So this is not necessarily like, you know, the smartest pick. It's just the Hart pick. And I'm going to take Corbin Carroll to steal the base tonight at plus 300. Okay. And here's my reasons why. He hasn't stolen one in a long time. He's really awesome. I'm going to be super simple. He's really awesome at stealing bases. The Diamondbacks took four bases off the Rangers last time Eovaldi pitched. Two of them were off Eovaldi. And if the Diamondbacks want to have any hope of winning this game, they have to play their game of baseball, which is small ball, which means they have to be spunky. They have to be stealing bases. They have to be bunting. They have to just be getting runners across the home plate. And they did win this game versus Eovaldi in this matchup. Game one. So they have a shot, but how they did it was playing there. They had one home run in that game, just one. Yep. They played small ball. So I'm going to say Corbin Carroll, he's due. I know the he's due thing is like the worst kind of analysis, but he's due. Yep. We're going to take him for 3-1 odds to steal a base tonight.
So that was a real roller coaster. I hated it when you gave it out, and then you talked me into it, and then you concluded with, this was horrible analysis, so I don't know why I was listening to it in the first place. I am afraid of you winning that bet, but I am not going to tail that bet. Now, you did inspire me heavily, Jen, on my Hart pick. Well, you gave out a winner on Jahmyr Gibbs on Monday in this exact same format, which is to take a running back and take both the rushing yards and the receiving yards and parlaying them together on Caesars, which allows you to do that. And I am going to follow your lead. I'm doing it with Derrick Henry over 72.5 rushing yards and over 12.5 receiving yards. You put them together, you get a plus 260. So I could be like you and your Gibbs pick. And he's the far more established player, right? Like Gibbs was a little bit more risky because we haven't seen him do it at the NFL level. We were just waiting for that breakout game. You geniusly, correctly predicted exactly when that breakout would happen, and you cashed accordingly, which is an awesome job by you, which is why you have the lead. But Henry has hit this combo in each of his last two games, and now he has Levis in at quarterback. And if I'm a young quarterback and I'm playing on a short week, then I am, of course, going to lean heavily on my workhorse behind me. The Steelers also give up 115 yards a game to opposing running backs and 29 yards receiving a game. So the matchup doesn't scare me either. So if you have a game script that should call for a heavy Henry usage despite his ankle knock, and you have a defense that is a little bit generous to the position, I think plus 260 is more than good value to place this bet.
So I'm going to tail you on that. And I'm going to tell you that that was in my queue of possible bets until you sent over the email and said, just so you know, this is going to be this one. And I was like, all right, I'll just tail him on that one. Then I can use another bet. So yeah, I'm all in on Henry. As you said, Steelers very generous to opposing runners, third most rushing yards per game. I'm not concerned about Tyjae Spears. You know, Henry's lost no efficiency from last season. Yeah. There's no reason to think he can't do this. I know it is a short week, so maybe that's why we're hedging a little bit. People are a little nervous about the new quarterback. But look, Levis has shown he has some threat with his arm, which opens up the run game even more. Yep. So, you know, I'm in, and he has been used as a receiver more than usual this season. He was on. Yes, I'm tailing. That's all the one right. I'm tailing.
Just a yes. That's all we needed, Jen. So yes. I like it. I like that you're tailing it. I like the analysis that you threw on top of mine. And that one's already in. I'm already holding that slip, and I'm excited to see what happens on Thursday. So what do you have in the head category for everybody?
All right. So head category. So I'm going to kind of like riff on the Derrick Henry, and I'm going to do a parlay, and it's the same game parlay with Derrick Henry over 59.5. So we'll just go a little lower to give ourselves a little room here. And I'm going to take DeAndre Hopkins for over 49.5 receiving yards. You parlay those together, you get +140. Now, it's not just because I'm totally buying into Will Levis and the 3 touchdowns and 128 yards. It's because DeAndre Hopkins is that good. And he's gone over 100 receiving yards in 2 of the last 3. In addition to that, Pittsburgh's been very generous to opposing wideouts. They've allowed 195 yards per game and an average 1 touchdown per game to opposing wideouts. There is no other wide receiver for Tennessee. That's it. It's just Hopkins. So Minka Fitzpatrick is out. All of this just makes me think that the Titans are going to be okay on Thursday night. So I like these two together. I think DeAndre Hopkins might even go for another touchdown. And he's kind of like coming out of his drought, maybe, we're hoping. I love it. So DeAndre Hopkins over 49.5 receiving plus Derrick Henry over 59.5 +140. That's my head bet.
Okay. I haven't heard a preview of what you're doing in credibility yet, so I'm going to hold off, but I like that one much more than your stolen base prop at the beginning. So that's the leader for me to tail right now. I am doing my League of Leagues bet one more time because this might be my last chance to do it, Jen, if the series ends tonight. I'm hoping the Diamondbacks win so I could do it again on Friday because I have so much fun doing these. But I am going with Will Levis, who we've already discussed, to throw one interception at least on Thursday night, combining it with Trey Young under 0.5 blocks, and then adding in Ketel Marte over 0.5 hits. You pair the three together on Caesars, you get +167. And so while we're talking about Levis showing some, you know, arm strength and having Hopkins in there to help bail him out on certain throws, he's still a young quarterback. It's still Thursday night, and the Steelers defense does force mistakes with picks in 5 of their 7 games. So I've had a lot of success betting interceptions, particularly on Thursday night. And of the two quarterbacks, I picked Levis here just because of the factors I just laid out. On the basketball side, I mean, Trae Young has 0 blocks in his last 20 regular season games, is generously listed at 6'1", 164 pounds, which I don't even think he's that big. And this isn't exactly the part of the game you fear. So unless he, like, you know, gets his hand on a scoop shot, I don't see how he gets a block otherwise. And so I figure, like, this one feels really good to me. And then Marte, Jen, I mean, back into your world, he has a hit in every single postseason game so far this year for the Diamondbacks, as he's helped them drive them far beyond their expectations. And I was shocked when I looked that up, because I haven't, like, I don't consume as much baseball content as you have, but, like, shouldn't this be a bigger story? Shouldn't it be a bigger story? The guy has a perfect postseason hit streak, and in mainstream coverage, it's never, like, leaked into my ears. And so I think the season's going to end tonight, but I think he's going to carry a 18 game postseason hitting streak into the wild card round next year. And I think it should be a bigger story.
I feel like I've heard that story at the few moments that I've turned on the World Series. The problem is I'm not watching it long enough.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, Tommy, I guess
it's also been randomly really hot in the postseason. So it's like there have been some hot Diamondbacks hitters. I just think we're not as interested.
You're probably right, because I haven't watched every Marte at bat. Maybe they're, like, hitting everybody over the head with it every time he steps to the plate. But, like, it's not like a headline on, you know, ESPN. And,
right. You're right.
And, like, on Extra Points Podcast Network, nobody's mentioned it, right? And I listen to everything we do. I listen to a lot of other sports podcasts. It just doesn't come up. But it's probably more a reflection of baseball that we covered at the top of the show than anything else. So anyway, that's my League of Leagues bet for the day, +167. I think this is my best one yet.
All right. I'm still sticking with Derrick Henry here, because he's my boy.
Yep. All right, so on the heater round, Jen, a little update for everybody at home. You've already told everybody I've hit twice, so I'm already in the black for heater on the week, no matter what happens tonight, but I do have the Rangers on the run line tonight at +143. Now, you suffered some bad injury luck, and I tailed you, so I suffered it as well with Garcia being knocked out of that game and now out of the series. So, of course, like, the way this would function in real life is you wouldn't put in all 3 bets on Monday. You would bet them as they come up. And so since you would not bet Garcia in games 4 and 5, it only feels fair to give you a mulligan and give you 2 more heater bets for the week. So what pattern are you going to play to get those other 2 units and try to beat me?
Thank you. Which I really appreciate. Okay, so because we don't know if the baseball series is going to continue through the end of the week, I'm going to bet on it not continuing through the end of the week. And I'm going to bet on Dallas, teams from Dallas, to win this week. So that means I'm taking the Rangers to win tonight, just straight up money line. Mm-hmm. And I'm taking the Cowboys to win at plus 140 on Sunday.
Okay. All right. So you're home, you're basically your hometown. You grew up right outside of there.
That's right.
You're saying this is their week. This is their week. They can't be called the City of Champions, or Damashek would like storm into the Zoom right now and start yelling at me.
But both teams are really hot right now. Dallas is really hot right now. Are they not?
Yeah, no, it's pretty awesome. I mean, we've seen this for cities, right? Like Tampa Bay had that run a couple of years ago. Now let's see if Dallas, if the Rangers win tonight, Cowboys fans might have some extra thoughts heading into Vegas in February. All right, so that just leaves us with our Moneyball round, the credibility, and you still have the lead, so you get to lead us off.
All right, my credibility bet is Najee Harris will go under 45 and a half rushing yards tonight. There is just no way he's doing this. The kid's averaging 3.7 yards per attempt this season. He's only done this a couple games this year, and the Titans' offense is stout versus the run. Not to mention the fact Jalen Warren's been slightly more efficient and is taking a lot of his snaps, a lot of his carries. So I just don't think he does it. If you look at the actual average number allowed per game, it looks like the Titans have allowed 83 yards per game to opposing runners, but that's majorly skewed by that one game versus the Colts where, yeah, they were off and they allowed like 185 yards to Colts running back Zach Moss and Jonathan Taylor. If you look outside that, it's more like 65 yards per game. You throw Jalen Warren in there and the fact that Najee just hasn't looked good this season, and I just don't see him getting to 46 rushing yards tonight.
What was the juice on that?
-125.
-125. Okay. I'm going to tail you on that one. Because I also don't believe he's going to get over, and unders are right in my bailiwick, what I love to bet. I don't have a lot of other under action right now. So I'm going to tell you on that. Plus, I already have enough Henry shares on my opening bet. And you did really well on Jacobs. You correctly called Jacobs on Monday night, and I think you're going to
do it again right now. Was that a sweat?
That was a sweat.
I was like, I'm going to miss it. And then the game went. I was like, yes.
It was what? Thanks, Josh McDaniels,
for one last present.
Glad somebody got something out of that besides his severance check. All right. So for my credibility, Jen, I am going to the NBA and I am playing the Nuggets money line tonight versus the Timberwolves, which is shockingly only -130. And I think this is like a reflection of us in the media and a lot of fans of the unsexiness of sameness. Like the Celtics add a shiny piece, the Bucks add a shiny piece. Like we now see James Harden going to the Clippers, Lakers added a bunch of new rotation players. Obviously, the Suns went for it in the Beal trade. Like those are the guys getting a lot of the headlines. Whereas the Nuggets just keep grinding it out and crushing teams every single night without the same fanfare. Like, yes, they might be in the number one of the power rankings, but they're not as much fun to talk about. And apparently they're not much fun to bet on because this line is way too low. I think I would take the Nuggets -130 and basically any game in the league right now, with the possible exception of at the Celtics and at the Bucks. Like they deserve more respect. These numbers should not be like minus, they should be at least -140, -150 against anybody. And it's just the Wolves. The Wolves have shown flashes, but they remain an unfinished project and don't look materially better than the team the Nuggets took care of 4-1 in the playoffs last year, with the only one loss going to overtime in a game the Nuggets, frankly, should have won. And so while Edwards might make the leap, he might make it tonight, he might make it next week, he might make it next month, he might make it next year, to only have to pay -130 that they're not going to come out and beat the champs seems too good to be true, which means it probably is, but I'm happy to put two units down on it this evening.
Okay. And you convinced me. That sounds awesome. Still going to stick with Henry because sure. I don't want you getting out front with that +260 and me not to be on the same train.
I do. I like that. I like that you're bringing game theory into this rather than just going with what I can talk you into. Have you noticed that though, in like all sports punditry, like the teams that don't make the splashy moves that just remain consistently excellent somehow like slip in our love and attention and in some cases even betting odds. I mean, I don't think that's just a basketball thing. I think that's true of most sports.
I think it's absolutely true. And that's like a way that you can probably get a big edge.
Yeah, look, I know you don't follow the NBA quite as closely, but like if you look at the money lines tonight, the Nuggets, I forget exactly what it is, but of the favorites, the Nuggets are like the third or fourth shortest odds. It's like, why are the Celtics like minus 460 versus a team they should beat when the Nuggets are minus 130 versus a team they should beat? I know the Wolves are better than, you know, the Celtics opponent, but at the same time, like the odd disparity is just way too much in my mind. Anyway, as Jen said, she crushed her Second Guess Express last week. So I encourage you to stay around, hear what she's got cooking for us today. She gives out a guaranteed winner for you as she gets no benefit from it. Okay, we are back. And as promised, here's Jen with a winner in the Second Guess Express. What are you going to give out, Jen?
Okay, I'm going to expand on my Najee Harris bet, but this time I'm going to take him to stay under 39.5 rushing yards because, yeah, I think it's going to be that bad. And I'm going to add over 5 receiving yards because, look, Kenny Pickett's kind of banged up. That's just like one check down. He's gone over this in 2 of his last 3. He is a good pass catcher. He still will remain on the field. You parlay those two together, plus 210. So we've got to keep Najee Harris under 40 rushing yards, and he just needs to get over 5 receiving yards, and we get more than 2-1 value.
I do love those adjusted totals, and you crushed the Laporta pairing the other day. You called his game perfectly. So just like last time, as soon as we hang up here on the Zoom, I will be hitting my phone to get that in. So I am sticking with the NBA for my Second Guess Express. I'm going Warriors Kings over 227 tonight, and it is minus 110. The Kings have just been obliterating this number, Jen. They're looking like their games are going to be more in the 240s and 250s than the 220s, which is where they found themselves so far. We saw the same matchup on Friday night, ended at 236, and I think it pushes even higher tonight. I also kind of like the Kings at plus 7 at minus 110 as the line is high enough that you don't have to fear free throws at the end of the game quite as much. And this Kings team shows they don't have any quit in them as they went toe-to-toe with the Lakers last time out on Sunday, not backing down a single inch. The Warriors look really good, but I think the Kings can keep it to 2 possessions at the end, so you can win that bet as well. Now, let me ask you one other, Jen. This is like a Third Guess Express here. Kenny Pickett, under 33.5 passing attempts, minus 130. Do you see a world in which they trust Pickett to throw 34 times? Like, I think if they're down that much that they're having him throw, like, he's already been yanked. I think he's on a short leash. So what's going to happen for them to have him throw that many times?
Yeah, I agree. I think under is definitely the play there. I mean, I guess it would be if he's technically throwing a ton of check downs and we're getting a lot of short little throws counting towards it, in which case, hey, congratulations on your Najee Harris bet. But
yeah, there you go. Get them both in.
I don't see it. I mean, like, as we said, like, Pittsburgh can't get their run game going. It's not like Jalen Warren's been so good. He's like averaging like 3.9 yards per attempt. Just in general, they can't get the run game going. You think they're going to get it going versus Tennessee? No. So then they're going to try to throw with Kenny Pickett. And I just don't think it's probably going to work. And maybe what they're thinking is the secondary, like they traded off the secondary trading by yard. And
yeah,
I don't know. But like, we think Tennessee's going to get such a big lead?
I don't get it. I mean, Damashek's already calling for new quarterbacks there, and I've said his name twice now. If I say the third time, he will show up like Candyman. And listening to him talk about the way Pittsburgh fans are feeling about Pickett, it's like they finally come back to earth about how, like, all of us have seen this guy for too long, and they just, like, loved his little moxie and how they knuckleball to victories. But the guy isn't or hasn't yet shown the arm strength and speed of decision-making to be an NFL quarterback. So why would you want to spot, like, those 34 times to hit the over on this bet? So Jen, I was listening to you guys on Waiver Wire just before we got on. Another great show. You want to tell everybody what you talked about and why they should go listen?
Oh yeah. We talked a lot about, the state of the quarterback position, which is severely beat up right now, and what you can do. We do talk about Will Levis. We also talk about the Joshua Dobbs trade and how that affects fantasy players on both sides. So both for Arizona and for Minnesota. I vented a little bit about Davante Adams, and then we got the beautiful news about Josh. I don't know if this is really going to help anything, but at least I feel like I got my revenge, because my teams are really angry about how Davante Adams is being used. So there you go. We have other stuff to you, other waiver wire picks to collect, and it's a fun episode.
Yeah. Well, Adams was equally angry about Adams' performance and usage this year. And apparently that was the last straw to get McDaniels out of there. Finally, as you were saying before the show, like, when do we give up on the Bill Belichick coaching tree? And like, especially on the offensive side of the ball, when they had the privilege of coaching the GOAT, and that's what led all these guys to get, I don't know, 50 years worth of head coaching contracts at hundreds of millions of dollars without evidence that they were the difference maker when as soon as they had to go to another team.
That's the thing. And it compared to, like, say, the Kyle Shanahan coaching tree, which looks a little bit more successful. I mean, again, what are coaching trees? Do we believe in coaching trees anymore? I'm not sure we do.
That is a great question. That is one I want to dive in with you on, if not Friday, the next time you come back. So Lemon Pepper Parlay came out as well. Give it a listen. Another great episode from Mark and Martin. I will be back with Covered in Glory with Brett tomorrow, as well as the Extra Points pregame show that's done on -3. The 15-minute pregame show is tremendous. That'll be out Friday along with the Hench episode. It's always a great listen. And please go listen to the Extra Points podcast, which is what I was trying to get out earlier with Sarah Tiana. So that is everything we have going on at the network. Another great week here. Excited to share it with you. And Jen, I'll be excited to come back on Friday, maybe talk about the end of baseball, maybe talk about a game 6. We'll have to wait and see. But either way, I hope we were talking about me trying to protect the lead against you in the contest. But I like your picks a lot this week, so I think I'll probably still be trailing. How are you feeling? Are you feeling confident?
I feel okay. I'm not sure that I feel confident, Toby. You're quite a worthy opponent. So I was a little nervous. I mean, like, the score's pretty close.
Yeah.
It's neck and neck. So I don't know. I feel okay. I feel good. We'll see how I feel, like, you know, we'll see what happens at the game tonight. I think once baseball's off the table, maybe it'll make me feel less nervous. But the end of the sport makes me nervous.
Well, heading into the offseason, we're going to get to see a lot of interesting decisions based on the new sport, as we talked about earlier in the show. But that's a weird thing, plugging the beginning of the show at the end of the show, because you've heard the plug, you probably already listened. So I should probably just stop talking and say, enjoy all the games, and we will see you on Friday. Take care, everyone.